go. Time is an all-inclusive flow. Oh, but I am sure my cargo is secure. Though the currents toss my vessel to and fro, so run, river, run, and hasten to the sea. I have no fear of you, for your maker lives in me. The one who made your bed, your bends and highest falls, he will ride with me until he calls. Till my Savior calls me. This voyage is not mine to sail. He owns the rudder and the sail as well. And he pilots me through winds and currents deep, and turns the heart within this mortal shell. So run, river, run, and hasten to the sea. I have no fear of you, for your maker lives in me. The one who made your bed, your bends and highest falls, he will ride with me until he calls. Till my Savior calls me home. Until calls me home, I'll be here sailing on. But thank God I won't sail alone.
Open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua, chapter 7, for the reading of the Word. Been a pretty day today. Beautiful day, and oh, I'll just save it for another time. Y'all read me like a book, ain't you? I'm gonna have to change covers. All right, Joshua chapter 6. Well, we're going to start reading chapter 6 first. I told you I was going to change covers. Oh, mercy, I want to be true to my word. Amen. 196 of us in service tonight. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord and appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord. And I talk to a lot of people. They say, well, we just can't get nobody back out on Sunday nights. And I just makes me so proud of our church. And amen. France has sew all my buttons back on because I bust all of them off. Amen. And I appreciate it. Then Wednesday night also, what a blessing. Kim Rogers. Kim, where are you at? She's visiting with Joe and Cindy Haynes tonight. We're glad you're here. We welcome you tonight. Appreciate you being here. These fellas here, we're glad you all came. You need to turn in a visitor's card. We may have a raffle after a while, and you could win. Amen. All right. Would you stand with me tonight, and we'll read the Word of God, and I do covet your prayers earnestly. And the background of the book of Joshua in Israel has come into Canaan. They have entered the Canaan rest. And they come, and the first big city that they see when they get across Jordan is Jericho, the great walled city of Jericho. God promises it to them. God tells them he'll take care of it. And you know the story of how that they conquered that city, that town, took it, and without firing a shot, God leveled the walls of Jericho. But God, before they went in to the city, before God gave the city, he gave some specific instructions. And I want to look at it tonight in verse 17. He tells them that Rahab the harlot and her family, all that's in her house, are to be kept alive. Rahab was saved by faith in the blood. She was told to put a scarlet line out the window of her house. And they gave her, the two witnesses, gave her their word that she would be saved and all that would be within her house. All that got out under the scarlet thread would be saved. And I want to tell you that all that are under the scarlet thread of the blood of Jesus, that thread started in Genesis 3:15, and it's still going tonight, and whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. But then in verse 18, he gives some specific instructions. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves a curse when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Look at verse 24. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmah, the son of Zabda, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. I want to talk to you tonight about the grief of greed. The grief of greed. God's very, very serious about sin. God hates sin. God hates sin in any form. But I'm so grateful tonight that he loves sinners. Amen. I'm so grateful tonight that he has mercy. When we confess our sin, the Bible said, he that seeketh to cover his sin won't prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sin will have mercy. Amen. There's mercy in him tonight. The grief of greed. May we pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, we bow tonight. We bow before you. Lord, with shamed face, because we know, God, that we've sinned and failed to come short of your glory. We know we have do not have whereof that we can boast of any righteousness of our own, but it's all the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we must come tonight and take our place as needy, Lord, of forgiveness, and needy, Lord, of strength, and needy, Lord, of the infilling, afresh and anew tonight of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'll help me tonight to say what I ought to say and keep quiet about the rest of it. And Father, just have your way tonight. And may we take the warning and may we take the exhortation and the instruction tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you, Father, that you would be honored and you'd be pleased to dwell in our midst and manifest Jesus to our hearts. In his name and for Christ's sake we ask. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. You'll find out as we read tonight, as we preach, that it was only one man who committed the sin. But God saw Israel as such a united people that when one committed the sin, they all were judged guilty of that. The Bible said by the failure, by the transgression of one man, sin entered into the world. And so death came upon all men, for that all have sinned. The grief of greed. God was good to Israel. God showered his mercy on them. God had chosen them above all the people of the earth. And God had blessed them. And God has brought them now out of Egypt, out of bondage, and brought them into a land that flows with milk and honey. And so we come tonight to these verses, and God gave Jericho that first great walled city, and he said, now, the city's yours, and I've given you victory. But I want to tell you now, everything that you find in that city, all the gold and the brass and the silver is to be brought into the treasury of the house of God. You don't keep none of it for yourself. You don't keep a shoelace for yourself. You bring that into the treasury of the house of God. And I want us to look at it tonight, but one man got greedy. And I just want you to look at it tonight. And could I tell you tonight that sin of greed can be laid at all of our doorstep? That all of us tonight, we have a streak of greed in us. And we have a streak tonight of meanness in us when it comes. We all can get greedy. We all tonight are guilty. A lot of people do not go out and commit gross sin, such as murder and a lot of things, but yet in our hearts tonight there's sin that we daily need to repent of. And we need to ask God's forgiveness and we need to ask God for mercy. But I want us just, I got 8 points here tonight, and I'm going to try not to preach all of them. And I'm going to try to get you out of here anyway by 11:15. And because I want you to be able to go over and eat. But I want to give you some things tonight that I trust will speak to our hearts and instruct us and remind us that we cannot sin and get by. In chapter 6 and verse 24, I want you to see, verse 27, I want you to see the bravery that was published. The bravery that was published. Word got around. The Bible said the Lord was with Joshua. What a wonderful statement tonight. The Lord was with Joshua. And the Bible said his fame was noised throughout all the country. I mean, listen tonight, folks, everybody knew that God helped Captain Joshua. Everybody knew that General Joshua had the touch of God on him. And everybody, I mean, they knew that his bravery was published. But I want you to go with me tonight to verse 1 of chapter 7. But, listen tonight. Just what a wonderful record and what a wonderful winning streak that they've got going. I mean, Israel, I mean, God's blessing them. I mean, it's victory. They are victorious in everything they do. And all of a sudden, that word but comes up in scriptures. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And I want you to notice how specific the Bible is, the Holy Spirit is, about pinpointing the guilt. He said in the accursed thing, Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. I mean, just had it pinpointed to the family, the nation, the household, and the individual, and said they took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Sometimes we get to thinking, because we don't commit a lot of big, gross sins, that God don't get as mad at us as he gets, and that God doesn't get as grieved at us as he does some of the other people that does them big bad things. But I want to tell you tonight, God don't like sin in any form. God hates sin, and God had to give up his son to die for sin, that sin could be atoned for, that sin could be ransomed for. And so they ain't none of us right back tonight and push out our spiritual suspenders and say, I've arrived and I finally have conquered, and I'm not doing a lot of stuff. Hear me tonight. Listen, the bravery was published, but that word but. And a lot of times in all of our lives, you could talk about the fact, boy, I tell you, God lets him, God uses him to preach, or boy, that boy, she has a talent to sing, or boy, what a Sunday school teacher, or boy, what a good deacon. But in every one of our lives, God might have a but tonight. And we need to realize that tonight. We need to realize we haven't arrived. We need to realize they, none of us have come to the point that we can ride back and kick back and take it easy and say, I have arrived, because we haven't. But I want you to look not only at the bravery that was published, but in verses 2 and 3, I want you to see the boasting that was prideful. In verse 2, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. They returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor hither, for they are but few. They said, Hey, Ai is a piece of cake. Take it from us. We won't even have to break a sweat. Ai was a little place. It was a little city. And they said, Hey, I tell you, listen, they ain't no sense in breaking a sweat. They ain't no sense in running our tanks and all of our equipment over there for all of that. They ain't no sense in getting all these men out and making them lose sleep. Let them stay here and rest. Just take about 2,000 or 3,000 and we'll go over and wipe it out in a couple hours and we'll be back. How many times have we just come to the place and listen, hear me tonight, folk. How many times have we come to the place that we rired back and said, Boy, I tell you what, look what we done back then. Look what we done last year. Look how God used me a few years back. Look what God has helped me do. Boy, look how I was used of God. And the boasting that was prideful. And we get to thinking, Hey, I can sit there. God can sit this one out. I've got her whipped. Oh, the boasting that was prideful. Verses 4 and 5, there's the battle that was pitiful. The battle that was pitiful. Look at verse 4. So there went up hither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them to the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I will tell you, friend, tonight when sin gets in the ranks, it sends the whole crowd to defeat. You may not know what's wrong, but you'll be able to sense that something ain't right. I mean, listen, hear me tonight, folks. If you've got any God about you at all, if you know anything about the Holy Ghost tonight, He'll let you know when something's wrong. He'll let you know it. Oh, listen, I'll never forget a few years ago in a church I pastored. I mean, we were seeing the Spirit of God move and people getting saved, altars filled all the time. And I mean, you know, the offerings were good and attendance was good and the visitors coming in by the droves. And I mean, it was just going good. And all of a sudden, before we realized it, it was just that steady decline going down. I mean, we had pretty good crowds, but I mean, the Spirit of God just got silent on us. I mean, God just got silent on us. And I remember one Wednesday night coming out of the pulpit so defeated. I just stood and tried to preach and everything, and I felt like I had what God wanted me to preach. And I come out of the pulpit, and I'll never forget, I come down, made a right turn, went into my office on the side, and I went back there in the back in the dark. And I said, Lord, something's wrong. Lord, I know it's wrong. Something's wrong. You know it's wrong. I don't know what it is, but Lord, I want to know what it is. I just thought I wanted to know what it was. Oh, listen, I said, Lord, let me. I said, God, something's wrong. People ain't getting saved. And Lord, our attendance is down. And Lord, it's getting dead. Lord, it's just quiet. And you're not dealing with us like you have. Let me know what it is. I hadn't much more got it out of my mouth. And one of the most respected men in that church walked in by back there where I was and said, Preacher, there's something going on you need to know about. Don't ask God to show you unless you really want to know. Because God's pretty faithful about answering prayer. Amen. I'll never forget that. That man walked in and he said, there's something going on. And you know, I hate it when people look at me and say, Preacher, there's something going on you need to know about and you need to pray about it. God will show you what it is. I ain't going to tell you. I hate that. Amen. I'll box your jaw if you ever walk up to me like that. I met him at his work the next afternoon. That man sat there and told me a heartbreaking story of how his wife had took up with their daughter's boyfriend. And they were meeting at their house during the day when all of them were gone. We dealt with that and worked with that and tried every way in the world to get that straight and help them get things right and all. And they just would not. And folk, I'll tell you, on a Sunday morning, we had to dismiss them from the church. And on Sunday night, I didn't even get to preach. Glory fell once again. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, friend, the grief of greed. The grief of greed. And I could be the problem at times. You could be the problem. And oh, hear me tonight. Here it is. Here's the battle that was pitiful. They went up to Ai. They said, hey, we can take it. It's a piece of cake. Wanted that to break a sweat. And got up there and turned cowards. And turned around and run from one of the littlest cities in Canaan. Listen to me tonight, friend. Sin destroys your joy. Sin destroys your confidence. Sin destroys your peace. Sin destroys your desire to do something. And here these little old pitiful men of Ai that couldn't have whipped a bunch of alley cats had a bunch of big, strong Jews running. And they shot 36 of them in the back. The scripture said, the hearts of the people melted, became as water. The people lost their confidence. They lost their will. What you don't realize, friend, tonight is when sin is activated in our midst, when sin is activated in my life personally, I mean, I lose my confidence. I don't mean that, you know, that if you're going through a little old battle or some things, the devil's, I'm not saying this because of sin all the time, but I want to tell you, friend, tonight that you and I need to realize that sin will bind us up and it'll defeat us and it'll strip us of everything that we need to be successful for God. The battle that was pitiful. But look in verses 6 through 9. There's the blaming that was pointless. The blaming that was pointless. The Bible said, verse 6, Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. You know what he said? God, it's your fault. We are in a mess. We have just been embarrassed and humiliated before the land of Canaan. We have a reputation to uphold. And Lord, here it is. It's your fault. We'd been better off to have stayed in Egypt. The devil tells people that a lot of times. They say, well, you had it easier when you was in sin.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, the devil didn't even bother you when you was in sin. Because I... Amen. Don't everybody jump now and run. We're all still here. Lights is still on. But they said Joshua, he got on his face and he went to kicking and screaming and hitting the Lord. Look just what's happened. Lord, why did you bring us over here to let the Amorites kill us? We could have stayed in Egypt. They was doing a pretty good job of it. But there was blaming that was pointless. And notice what else he said. Verse 8, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. Now I want you to listen to this. The Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us, shall circle us around and cut off our name from the earth. And oh yeah, and by the way, Lord, what will they do to your great name? Lord, they're going to put our name in the dust. Lord, what don't you realize, Lord, that our reputation is about to be ruined? Don't you realize, Lord, that our name is going to be putty now? And Lord, here's another thing you've got to think about. Your name ain't going to sound too good after this. Ain't it something we think about our reputation and our names first, and then, oh yeah, by the way, Lord. Huh? There's the blaming that was pointless. They were blaming God. And then look at the betrayal that was preached. Look at verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, I bet it's all about all God could do right then to keep a smack in the face on him. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Joshua, quit acting like a baby. Get up from there. Verse 11. Israel hath sinned. Hey, Joshua, it ain't my fault. You are the ones that are sinned. You're the ones that's caused this. You're the one that put yourself in this mess, not me. He said, you've transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Ain't that something? God knew what they'd done and what they'd done with it. God knows, hey, God don't miss a trick. God knows the whole thing, folk. Oh, yeah, yeah, you really, really, really love to talk about, you really, really love to talk about them prostitutes standing over on the street. You really love to talk about them dope dealers in Riverview. You really love to talk about them drunk drivers you got behind. But what if the Holy Ghost, listen, what if the Holy Ghost could empty the contents of your heart in front of everybody tonight, and all of our and all of our greed, all of our bitterness, and all of our hatred, and our strife, and all of our pride.
Come on, brother. Come on.
All of us that stand in the temple and say, Lord, I just want to thank you that I'm not like other people. I just want to thank you, Lord, that I have never been arrested for drinking. Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Huh? Folk, I want to tell you something. You listen to me tonight. If God was getting ready, if Angel Gabriel walked in here and said, I've got the tape of everybody's life in here tonight, what you're thinking, everything you've ever done, what you've been thinking about today, and we're getting ready to splash it on this screen, they would be plenty of parking places in that parking lot out there in 3 minutes. In fact, half of you would have a broken leg getting out of here. Because, folk, God knows us. He knows me. If you knew how I am, a lot of times you wouldn't want to listen to me preach. If I knew how you was, I wouldn't preach to you. I'd probably say, Lord, that crowd's too far gone for help. But you see, God knows every one of us just like we are. He knows us. He knows us. We can't hide from Him. He knows us. There's the blaming that was pointless. Verse 10 through 13, there's the betrayal that was preached. God said, let me just tell you what the real problem is. Verse 13, get up. Now look what it said, verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither, look at this. Oh, this ought to chill the heart of every Christian. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed from among you. He said, no wonder you become a bunch of cowards. Because you took of the accursed thing. And I want to tell you, I don't want nothing to do with you either. I will not be, I'm gone, and I will not be back, son, till you get rid of the accursed thing. Verse 13, get up. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Folk, hear me tonight. We wonder sometimes why we're so defeated. We wonder sometimes why our prayers ain't getting answered. We wonder sometimes why that thing that we've asked God for so long has never been granted to us. And we think, well, God loves them other people. He answers their prayers, but He won't ever do for me what I ask Him to do. Could I ask you tonight, friend, that God knows your heart and God knows my heart? Sometimes I'm driving down the road and I have to say, Lord, I want to get right with you. Lord, what do I have? Tell me what I got to do to get right with you. Don't ask Him that if you don't want Him to tell you. There's the blaming that was pointless, the betrayal that was preached. He said, look, He said, you took the accursed thing. He said, you take that silver and that gold and all those precious treasures and put them in my house and keep your hands off of it. Then I want you to look at verses 14 through 18. There's the banishment that would purify. Verse 14, in the morning therefore you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. The family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. That's the way God sees it. Man by man, woman by woman. See, God don't deal with me because you've done something wrong. And God don't deal with you because I've got wrong. God deals with us man by man. Man by man. The banishment that would purify. He said, Joshua rose up early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and then he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. Then there's the behavior that's polluting. Look at verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. I was thinking tonight while I was over in the study, getting this ready. I thought about a lady that another city in Tennessee that played the piano in that church for 15 years. And died of cirrhosis of the liver. Virtual alcoholic. And they said nobody in that church. I mean, it was an independent, fundamental, premillennial, pre-tribulational. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't speak to folk at do. Baptist church. Man by man. Verse 19, he said, Joshua told him, said, Achan, you're the man. Tell me what you've done. Confess it, son. Honor the Lord. Give glory to the God of Israel. Confess what you sin. And to his credit, in verse 20, he said, thus and thus have I done. When I saw, verse 21, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. You know what? I read this, and I want to tell you something, Doc. He knew exactly the worth of every one of those items he took. He knew how much they weighed. He said that shekel of silver is 50 shekels of silver. He said that gold, he said that is a good size, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Weight, he knew. He even had him weighed. He knew what he had done. He knew what he took. He knew what he had. And here's something else. He said, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. Now I want you to get this next phrase. And the silver under it. Did you know that silver in the scriptures was the price of redemption? Silver speaks of redemption. And he had what he had all the stuff he had took on top and had the silver under it. He had his priorities reversed. He had no respect for the silver. Listen, look at me. When sin gets in our lives, we lose respect for the holiness of God. When sin gets in my heart, I lose respect for the holy things. Verse 22, Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. The behavior that's polluting. But folk, I close tonight with the burial that's pictured. These people that want to live under the law and be justified by keeping the law, they better be glad that we don't live under the law today. I'm glad God deals with me through grace and not law. The scripture said, Achan, verse 26, Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought him unto the valley of Achor. Achor means trouble. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Why have you given us all this trouble? Why have you put us in this mess? Why? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after that they had stoned him with stones. Now verse 26, they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Folk, God raised a great heap of stones up. And I looked at that and I said, Lord, why did you do that? And the Lord said, because in the days to come, when people passed by and saw that great heap of stones, anybody ask a question, they would be reminded that that's where Achan And Achan's family paid the price for his sin. See, listen to me tonight, folk. When you go away from God, when you break the law of God, you don't hurt just yourself. You don't hurt just yourself. The grief of greed, it affects everything around us. It affects everything around us. Day and a day goes by several times a day that if my heart's honest, I'll say, God, clean me up. Old Lester McKinnon said, we'll get on our knees at the end of the night and yawn and say, well, Lord, if I've done anything wrong today, forgive me. That's an insult in the face of God. Lord, since I've sinned today, forgive me. Forgive me. The Bible said in 1 John, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
Could I tell you tonight, folk, if Homeland Baptist Church ever ground to a halt, God forbid that I'd be the problem. God forbid that I'd be the problem and be too spiritually stupid to recognize it. That's why it's necessary that we all keep short sin accounts with God. Because one person letting sin rule in their life can pollute the whole church. God's a merciful God. But He's a holy God. And God's holiness will be vindicated. One way or the other. One way or the other. I heard about 2 men that sat in a communion service. The pastor started to have communion. It was in a Baptist church. And the pastor knew that 2 men in that church were at odds. And he asked him, he said, the church is out of order. He said, we can't have communion. He said, unless you 2 men would come to this altar and get this thing right. They'd had a stubborn falling out. And the man on the front seat said, I'm more than willing to meet him at the altar and get this thing settled. The pastor pointed to the other man back there and he said, I ain't got nothing to pray about. I've not done anything and I ain't coming to pray. A couple of nights, the pastor closed the service. He said, we're out of order. We cannot have communion. And a couple of nights later, about 5 o'clock in the morning, that man that said, I ain't coming to pray. His wife heard him struggling. And he was dead by the time she had to get up and get to the light switch. Folk, I want to tell you, God's a holy God. He's a holy God. Let's stand.